run down the battery even faster.
Okay, Zot the Gemara, Daf Lamed, Hey, Omed Aleph. So the truth is, we actually left off sort of in the middle of a question. So let's just update the situation. The Gemara asked, Minohan Amili, how do you know that you make a bracha before you eat? So the Gemara brought a pasuk, Kodesh Hilulim Lashem. The word Hilulim is Loshen Rabim. So therefore the indication is that there's two Hilulim, two Hidoyes, two brachas. What is that? Before and afterwards. So let's just go from the Gemara right from the beginning. We'll go through the first part quickly because we've learned that, and then we'll get up to date. Minohan Amili, Detona Rabbonon, Kodesh Hilulim Lashem. Remember that pasuk written in last week's parasha is talking about Revai. Malame, this teaches us, Shetu'unim Brocha Lefneim Ula Achareim. Where do you see both before and after? Because Hilulim is written in the plural. Mikan Omer Rebbe Kiva, Osa La'odom Sheyitoim. You see from over here that it's also to taste klum, anything whatsoever, kodem shivorech. Says the Gemara, v'hai kodesh hilulim, quote-unquote, lahachi hu da'asa. Is it really coming to teach us this principle that you make a bracha both before and after? Surely these words, or the word hilulim, which definitely has double drosha potential, but l'chayra, both droshas are l'chayra booked up. Why are they booked up? Because I need them. Haimi boyele, surely we require them for two other halachas. Chad, number one, the Omer Achmona, achle v'hodor ochle. Sounds like a poetic turn of phrase. You first have to be mechalel, and then you can eat. Remember, these are kodesh. So if you want to take them to Yerushalayim, it's fine. If not, you have to be mechalel then. So, where do I learn that achle v'hodor ochle from? Because the word hilulim, the hey, can be interchanged with the ches. It's as if it's written chilulim. So if that's one drosha. If you want to eat it, you want to be able to eat it, first do the achle, and then you can do the ochle. That's drosha number one. Ve'idach, furthermore, dovor hato'un shiro. Something that requires shiro, ta'un chilul, requires chilul as well. In other words, what type of fruit or what type of food are the halachas of revai negeya to? The answer is only that type of food which requires shiro. Which type of food requires shiro? Yain, grapes. And that's what it's saying. Dova ha ta'un shiro, ta'un chilul. That which requires shiro also requires chilul. V'she'einoi ta'un shira, ein ta'un chilul. Who taught us that principle? Okud Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omer Rabbi Yonason. Om Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omer Rabbi Yonason. Minayin she'ein oimrim shira elo ala yayin. How do I know that I only say shira on yayin, and I do not, however, say shira on other aspects in the Beis Hamikdash, which of course brings us back to what we learned at the end of Sukkah with regard to Nesachim. So he learned it from a pasuk. Shenema v'toyim Elohim ha-gefen ichdalti es tiroishi ha-mesameach Elohim v'anoshim. The gefen is mesameach Elohim v'anoshim. Now, how is the gefen mesameach people? Very simply, they drink it and they enjoy it. But how is yain mesameach, as it were, Elohim? That's the Gemara's question. Im anoshim mesameach, that I understand, but Elohim b'ma mesameach, mikan, from here you learn, she'ein oimrim shiro elo ala yayin. Now, stop. Really, this is where we ended on Tuesday, but to be perfectly honest, it's not actually the end of the question. So let's pause for a moment. What have we asked? Hilulim definitely has a double drosha in it, because it's written in plural. So we're learning two halachas, brocha lefnehem, brocha la'achareihem. Says the Gemara, I'm very sorry to tell you, hilulim, which is true, you can learn two things from, but the two things that we learn are other halachas completely. Number one, hilul chilul, that if you want to eat it, you first got to be mechallelit. Secondly, it's got to be something that you normally sing halel about, i.e., Yayin. Now, if you remember, we mentioned last time there was actually a machlokes. Kerem Ravai or Neta Ravai? Neta Ravai means any plantation is subject to Ravai. Kerem Ravai is only on a kerem on a vineyard, a yayin. Now, if you go with the opinion of Kerem Ravai, which means that the only food that relates to Ravai is Kerem Yayin, then the question that we asked is indeed a very, very big question. If you hold Neta Ravai, then it's not true at all to say that Hilulim is teaching us that you need to have a Halel for Ravai to apply. It's not true. So therefore, the question we've just asked, at least with regard to the second halacha, is a little bit up in the air. So would we all agree that the question is only a good question if we follow the opinion Kerem Ravai? If you hold Kerem Ravai, it means that the only food that pertains that has the halachas of Ravai is the Kerem, is the vineyard. Where would we learn that from? The possible we brought in the Gemara, Shira Yayin, and that's going to be learned from Hilulim. Well then indeed, we're in big trouble. I need both aspects of the Hilulim word to teach me various halachas. If, however, you hold Neta Ravai, what will be the situation then? Then it opens up one of them. The first question is still a problem, because you definitely learn Hilulim, Chilulim. But to say that it also you learn Halel and Shira and Yayin, that's not true. It applies to foods beyond Yayin as well. And that's why the Gemara now continues and says, Honicha. So Honicha is really a continuation of the question. Honicha lamanda toni netaravai. So it's all fine and well according to the opinion that says netaravai. Because if you hold netaravai, then which foods have the halachas of Ravai? Everything, not just Yayin. So all foods have the halachas of Ravai. So what does Honicha mean? All is well. What does that mean, all is well? Right, so it's not quite all is well, half is well. That means the second question would not be a question at all if you hold Neta Ravai. And that's what the Gemara says. Elo lamanda oma lamanda toni kerem Ravai. If you hold that Ravi is the Ravai, applies only to the kerem, well then we're in big trouble. Ma'ikalamim, what are you going to say? The itzma, because in fact there is a machlekes. Reb Chiya, v'Reb Shimon bar Rebbi, chad toni kerem Ravai. V'chad toni neta ravai. So therefore, the Gemara is, as it were, partially admitting that what? That the second question is not an absolute question because it depends on a machlokes kerem ravai or neta ravai. So let's see Rashi. Honicha leman da'oma. Says Rashi, honicha leman da'oma, kula. All of this is siyuma de pircha. What does siyuma de pircha mean? It's the siyum. What's the siyum? The end. It's the end of the question. In other words, honicha sounds like a bit of an answer. Says Rashi, no. It's the end of the question. We just said that what? For the second halacha that we learned from Hilulim is to teach you that Ravai only applies to Yayin. Honicha, let's continue with that to say, well, that's only true according to one opinion and not the other. It's all part of the question. And Rashi explains. V'hochi komar, and this is what's meant. Honicha. It would all be fine and well. Hod yalfut. What does yalfut mean? Like yalfinon. We learn, derive. That which you derived, brocha mehocha. You wanted to learn that you make brachas from over here, from this pasuk. That's okay. Lamanda toni neta ravai. Let's underline the word neta. According to the neta manda omar, that's great. Why? De islay, because he holds kol peiros ha'ilon All fruits of the tree, abateiras revai, are included and are subject to the halachas of revai. In which case, v'loy dorish mehocha, well, according to that opinion, he clearly does not darshan from over here, dovar de ta'un halel, ta'un chilul. That principle that we said before, that if it needs halel, then it needs chilul. Is that true according to the opinion Neta Ravai?
No.
Not true. Why is it not true? Because what does that mean? Dova ton halel ton chilul. Which needs halel? Only yayin. Excuse me. Neta Ravai holds it's not only yayin. So he clearly does not hold of that whole principle. In other words, he does not make that drosha. So the drosha, based on the words hilulim halel, which tells us if it needs a halel, it needs a chilul, the Neta Ravai opinion doesn't hold of that drasha. So how much has been freed up?
One
of it, says Rashi. In which case, ayater lei, what does ayater mean? Like the word yeter, remains for him, chad hilul lebrocha. At least one of the hilulim, there were two, because it says kodesh hilulim, plural, hilulim. So one of them is at least now just being freed up. However, says Rashi, if you hold Kerem Ravai, Mayikalameima. What are you going to say? Surely, ha mi boyale, we require this word, le midrash, to learn She'ein chilul ela b'mokoim hilul. There is only a chilul where there's a hilul, i.e., Yain. If that's the case, then he's really in trouble, because he's got none of the Hilulim drushas spare at all. One is to be taught that there exists a concept of Chilul, and the other is to tell you that it only applies to Yain. So, according to the opinion Kerem Ravai, we have a double question. According to the opinion Neta Ravai, then we have a single question. One drusha is good, one is not, however, spare.
Even though it's two brachos, it's the final acharav. But we're using it for both.
We're using hilulim for both. That means we need
only if one is free. So I need only to cover the final or
right,
acharav.
Right, and that's why when the Gemara says ha nicha, it doesn't actually mean that everything is fine and well, as Rashi just pointed out. Ayater le chad hilul lebracha. At least one would be freed up. But you're right; we'll still be in trouble.
Well, the Mishnah only talks about the bracha before. Didn't
the Mishnah only talks about the bracha before, but the Braisa says
that it could be both.
Melamed shetu'unim bracha lifnehem ula achareihem. So it's true. What's relevant to our Mishnah is the lifnehem, but the truth is, we learn from this pasuk hilulim, which is written in the plural, a double drasha, lifnehem ula achareihem. Now you can only darash in a double drasha if both aspects of the word hilulim are freed up. So aspect number one is definitely not freed up because I need to learn hilulim, chilulim. Aspect number two, that might be subject to machlokes. If you hold kerem revai, then it's also, even aspect number two is not freed up because I need to have the drasha that there's only a chilul where there's a hilul, which is only by yayin. If you hold kerem revai, neta revai, then that second aspect becomes freed up. Because you don't darshan this halacha of hilul chilul, in which case you've got the second aspect of hilulim spare. But as you rightly point out, you're not completely out of the trouble because you still learn one halacha from this word, so you haven't got two aspects spare. Says Rashi, one more Rashi. Chad toni kerem revai. We said there's machlokes. Kerem revai or neta revai. So one states kerem revai. What does it mean he states? Where does he state it? Says Rashi, b'chol mokoim sheyesh b'mishna neta revai. Wherever it says in Shas, in the Mishnah, is the words neta revai, comma, Tony Ihu, he however had a different girsa, Kerem. So if you want to know what does it mean, he states Kerem, where? Everywhere. Wherever you see the words in the Mishnah is Neta Ravai, according to one opinion, you have to cut out the word Neta and insert Kerem. Okay, so now the Gemara keeps on going. Says the Gemara, Ho Nicha. Again, we're going to continue on. Ho Nicha I Yalef Gezeira Shava. In other words, we just said there's an opinion called Kerem Ravai. Kerem Ravai. Kerem Ravai means that the halachas of Ravai only apply to a kerem, i.e. grapes and yayin. Now, we're assuming, where does he learn that from? If you are of the opinion Kerem Ravai, where do you learn that from? What's your source? So at the moment we're assuming the source is from our pasuk, Kodesh Hilulim Lashem. There's only a chilul if there's a hilul. If that's the case, then he's in major, major trouble. Because it means that Kodesh Hilulim is absolutely not spare in any way whatsoever. If in theory, and we're going to see in a second, maybe it's not just in theory, if in theory he has a different source to learn Kerem Ravai, but it's not from Kodesh Hilulim, then what? Then at least one aspect of Kodesh Hilulim will become freed up again. Just like according to Mandom and Neta Ravai. And that's what the Gemara says now. It will all be fine if he learns the halacha of Kerem Ravai, not from our pasuk, but rather from a different source, namely a Gzeirah Shavah. Why the Tanya? Rabbi Omer. Rabbi says, Ne'emar kan. It is written over here, Lo hoisif, lochem, tvuosai. With regard to Ravai, in last week's parasha, it's written the word Tvuasai, v'neem alahalon, and it also says elsewhere v'tvuas hakerem. So the common denominator being that in both psukim the word tvua is written, but in the second one, what does it say? Kerem. So there's a gzeirah shavah that says ma lahalon kerem, afkan kerem. Just like the second word Tvua refers to Kerem, because it says so clearly in the Pasuk, so too the first word Tvua with regard to Ravai also means Kerem only. Ah, if you go with that Gzeirah Shavah, then what?
You have one remaining.
You've got one spare? Ayater lei. I would have one spare. Chad Chilul or Hilul Lebracha. So we said if you are of the opinion of Kerem Ravai, both aspects of Hilulim are not available, that might not be true. Because it depends where he learns the Kerem Ravai halacha from. If he learns it from a Gzeirah Shavah, then he's got one Hilul spare. But if not, V'i lo yalef Gzeirah Shavah. But if he does not learn it from the Gzeirah Shavah, then where is he going to have to learn it from?
The pasuk.
Our pasuk of Kodesh Hilulim. In which case, Bracha mino le. Not only that, says Rashi. Says the Gemara, excuse me. V'inami yalef gezeirah shavah. And even if he does learn a gezeirah shavah, so where does he learn Kerem Ravai from? Gezeirah shavah, i.e., from Tvua Tvua, even if that's true. But remember, what would that leave you with? How many aspects of Hilulim spare? Only one, so you're not completely out of the woods. Ashkechon la'acharov, lefonov minayim. Even if you learn Kerem Ravai from a Gzeirah Shavah, which means that one aspect of Hilulim is freed up, so I can learn one brocha. Which one will I learn? Bracha shel acharov. Why we assume that one? We'll see in a moment. But I still won't have a source for bracha shel afonov. So you're still not completely out of the woods. Says Rashi. Ho nicha yalef gzeirah shavah. i.e. if, says Rashi, Dorash Lemilse, he darshans his matter. What does that mean, his matter? His halacha. Begzereshava from Tvua Tvua. So then, Va'ayatir Le, you'd have spare Chad Hilul Lebrocha. Says the Gemara. But even if then, I've only got one aspect freed up. So what would I learn? The Brocha Shela Acharov. Now, why would I opt for that one first? Says Rashi, Ashkechon Acharov, Keda Ashkechon Bebirkas Hamozoin. We discussed this last time. Min ha-Torah, there only exists one bracha. What is that? Birkas Hamazon, which is a bracha shel acharov, but only on pas, only on bread. So even though we're bringing droshes, kodesh ilulim, etc., etc., it's not a real drosh, obviously. It's a dinim drabon. So if I've only got one aspect spare of this word, what am I going to assume? That it means a bracha shalafonov or a bracha shalacharov? Well, my first assumption will be, let's look if I have a precedent in the Torah. The only precedent I have in the Torah is for a bracha acharov. That's bracha samozin. So therefore, kodesh ilulim, as we said, gives me two droshes. If I've knocked out one, but I've got one freed up, what will I say? That you have to make a bracha shel acharov. Why is that more likely? Because you see that the Torah also mandates something like that.
I thought the opposite. The Torah already tells me that I have to do a bracha. So maybe this is the source that it says lefaneh.
No, 1 second. Lefaneh of what? Oh, of pas.
Right.
Ah, okay. 1 second. 1 second. 1 second. At the moment, we're talking about general foods. This pasuk is not specifically talking about pas. Kodesh ilulim. No, not this pasuk. We're saying that generally in the Torah, if you do a search in the Torah, does the concept of bracha exist anywhere? The answer is yes. Not over here. In one pasuk in Parshas Ekev, it says v'chalta v'savata v'rachta. After you pass, you've got to say birkas hamazon. So now, back to our subject. I've got a spare pasuk that says, make a bracha. I'd say, probably it means, just that the Torah mandates you've got to make a bracha after bread. So Chazal are now adding, now make a bracha after all foods. So that's why we're going to say that if I only have one posuk spare, the more likely option is that it's a bracha shel acharov as opposed to shel afonov. So we're still on the lookout for what?
A source
for bracha shel afonov. Says the Gemara, ho loy kasha. That is not problematic. In other words, if I really have one pasuk to teach me a bracha shel acharov, that in fact could be sufficient, and I could learn from there a bracha shel afonov as well. Really? But we said we need two separate droshes. No. If I have a drosha to tell me a bracha shel acharov, that could suffice, and I would learn from there kal v'chaima that I've got to make a bracha shel afonov. Why is it a kal v'chaima? Says the Gemara. The Asya b'kal v'chayma. What's the kal v'chayma? Keshehu sova. When he is satiated, which means that what?
Afterwards.
He doesn't really need to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for food because he's already satiated. And nonetheless, mevorech, you got to make a bracha. Keshehu ra'ev. When he's hungry, nekol shekein. Even more obvious. Here we're getting to a very big discussion, and it's actually a discussion later on in Memches Amud Beis. Based on logic, is it more likely you should make a bracha before or afterwards? So the real answer is, it depends on what the bracha is all about. If I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for filling me up, and it's more likely to make a bracha afterwards when I'm filled up. If, however, the bracha is an expression of appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving me food, then it makes more sense to make a bracha lefanov, because afterwards I don't need the food. I had it already. It's done. It's over.
But you got satiated through eating something, correct?
So if I've got no need to ask rishus, as it were. Remember, we're going to see later that the, you know, bracha is to have rishus to eat the food. It's all history. It's gone. It's finished. And if nonetheless I have to make a bracha la'acharav, then kol shekein, when you're still hungry, you should have to ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu to eat your food. So therefore, says the Gemara, it could well be that if I have one pasuk spared up to teach me to make a bracha shela'acharav, that would suffice, and I would learn a bracha shelafanov based on pure logic. I don't need a double drasha. Now, Medav Halkin Kop. We were just discussing the opinion of Kerem Ravai. If you hold Kerem Ravai, where do you learn the principle of Kerem Ravai from? You have two options. Either from Kodesh Hilulim, Halel, or from the Zera Shot. If you learn it from this pasuk, you're in big trouble. So we have no source, no nothing spare whatsoever. What do we want to suggest? No, maybe he learns it from Xerah Shava. Tavua, tavua. Therefore, at least one aspect, one element of Kodesh Hilulim is freed up. Says the Gemara, and that could well be enough. Because I'll use the one aspect to learn a bracha shelacharav, based on a kal v'chomer, a bracha shelafon. Okay, so let's stop for a moment. If your name is Kerem Ravai, okay, you are of the opinion Kerem Ravai. So let's now work out our best possible scenario. Your name is Kerem Ravai. I ask you, where do you learn your principle of Kerem Ravai from? And you can answer me from a Gzeira Shah. Okay, good answer. So Kodesh Hilulim, is it spare? At least one aspect, not the other aspect, one aspect. Okay, so let's read the pasuk according to the opinion that Kerem Ravai. Kodesh Hilulim Lashem. This Ravai is Kodesh. Which Ravai? Kerem. Because your opinion is Kerem Ravai. Where did you learn it from? As it happens, not from this particular pasuk, from elsewhere, Gzeira Shavah. But certainly the subject of the pasuk is Kerem, because you're old Kerem Ravai. So if the subject of the pasuk is Kerem, albeit I didn't learn the principle of Kerem Ravai from this actual pasuk, I learned it from Gzeira Shavah. But ultimately, what is the subject of this pasuk? Kerem and Kerem only. Because you're old Kerem Ravai. In which case, if you want to now extrapolate from this pasuk, I've got to make a bracha, la'acharov. And by a kal v'chomer, so too, bracha shelafonov. Would you agree to me that's all fine and well and wonderful? But I only then have a source that you make brachas on
wine.
On wine. That's what this pasuk is talking about. In other words, it's true. I don't learn the Kerem Ravai principle from this pasuk. I learned from Gzeira Shavah. But that's irrelevant, because at the end of the day, what is the subject of this pasuk? Kerem. Wherever you learn it from, if you are of the opinion that Kerem Ravai, if you are of the opinion of Netta Ravai, fine. But if you are of the opinion of Kerem Ravai, then what? This pasuk is talking about Kerem, nothing else. It's only talking about Kerem. So I'm very sorry to tell you, I've got a pasuk that teaches you that when you have a Kerem, you should make brachas. So I don't know, make a bracha on a cucumber. I'll make a bracha on an orange. Says the Gemara, Ashkechok, Kerem. You have found Kerem. Shar minin minayin. How do I know? Other minim. So here we're going to get to the classic Binyan Av Tzad Hashava mechanism. What's a Binyan Av and what's a Tzad Hashava? Common denominator. So a Binyan Av is as follows. If the Torah tells me a halach in a particular case, even though it doesn't spell out every single last scenario. So, for example, Torah says, if you're walking down the street and you see your friend's ox and he's lost it, you've got to return it to him. Why? Because there's a mitzvah called Hashavas Aveda. So if I would ask you, so how do I know Hashavas Aveda refers also to a pencil? Maybe only to an ox? What would be the answer to that? Torah gives one example, and you learn everything else from it. Binyan Av. What does Binyan Av mean? There's an Av, there's a father. From that you build everything else. So who's the father? The ox. From there I learn, so too principle, so too pencil, and money, and fruit, and table, and whatever else it may be. When would the Binyan Av fall through? When would you not be allowed to extrapolate to other examples? If there's something unique to the Av. If you can come up with a good logic to explain why maybe a shoir is different to a pencil, well then you have no right to say, shoir and so too pencil. No, maybe only shoir. But if I don't have any reason to differentiate, then what? Binyan Av. And as we always say in our shiur, it's not enough to say the difference. You have to explain how it makes a difference. I can't turn around to you and say, yeah, maybe only shoir, not a pencil. Really, why? Because a shoir has four legs and a pencil doesn't. Okay, that's a very beautiful difference and I cannot possibly argue that. Why does that make a difference? It is a difference, but doesn't make a difference. But if I could think of a logic that really is a reason to make a difference, then what? You've got no right to say Binyan Av. That's the principle of Binyan Av. Now, what is Tzad Hashava? So imagine I would turn around to you and I would say, you know something? I think I can differentiate between a shoir and a pencil. Why is that? Maybe the Torah is saying you only have to return expensive items, not cheap things like a pencil. Maybe people are less particular about pencils. Ah, good logic. Maybe therefore, if it says shoir, I have no right to extrapolate other cheap things. Okay, so I'd look in the pasuk. Imagine the Torah would say, if you see your friend's shoir or his orange, give it back. So what does that do now to my expensive, cheap theory? Proved wrong. Don't tell me that what? That the Torah is only particular on expensive items, like a shoir, but not a pencil. It's not true because it also says an apple, an orange. So that whole theory has been put to bed. So imagine I'll turn around to you and I'll say, no. Maybe an orange is different to a pencil. Maybe the Torah is only makbid on food. I don't know if people have a special allegiance to food, but not a pencil. But when I turn around to you and say, sorry, shoir puts that theory to bed. A shoir is not food. A shoir is an animal. At least it's not food at the moment. So each one disproves the other one's theory. So what would I turn around and say? I'd say as follows. Listen, if I'd only have shoir, I'd say maybe only expensive items. If I'd only have an apple, maybe I'd say only food. But the food theory is disproved by the shoir. The expensive theory is disproved by the apple. So what is the tzad hashava between apple and shoir? Tzad hashava is that it's another person's property. So too a pencil. Rather than saying, no, there's no general rule because maybe something that's expensive is different or maybe something that's food is different. No. Each one disproves the other. So I look for a common theme. What's the common denominator between an apple and a shoir? Not much. Other than to say, yes, there is. A general common denominator is that it's somebody else's property. So apparently the Torah teaches me a general principle, which is if you see somebody else's property, return it. So too, pencil. Okay, now come back. That's the principle of Binyan Av, which you disprove with a pircha. Then you try and bring in another example, which is a yechiach. You'll disprove that, you'll have a tzadashon. What is our shayla now? I have a pasuk which is only talking about a kerem. Why is it only talking about a kerem? Because this manda omer holds kerem revai. You've learned from this pasuk by hook or by crook, from a drasha with a kal v'chayma, you make a brocha. La'acharov, lefonov. Maybe it's only talking about kerem. How do I know, however, that what? That I've got to make a bracha on other species. So now, before we see the Gemara, so whenever we have a question like that, what would be our immediate initial answer? Binyanav. You're right, the Torah is talking about kerem, but at the moment I don't see any reason to distinguish between kerem and other things. And therefore I would say the Torah gave one example which happens to be kerem. So too with regard to bracha and other items as well. In other words, I'm sorry to tell you, the ball is in your court, not in my court. You're asking questions. Oh, maybe only kerem. What do you mean maybe only kerem? Well, why was kerem exceptional? As far as I'm concerned, kerem is just and a fruit as an example. So therefore I'd say so too, all other foods as well. Unless you can come up with some reason to suggest that what?
Something unique.
That there's something extra unique about kerem. The Torah slaps extra chumras on kerem. Oh, if there's extra chumras on kerem, well, maybe too. That would explain why you've got to make a bracha as well. Because you see our special status. But as long as I don't have that precedent, so what's my assumption? Binyan Av. If it's true by kerem, it's true by cucumbers. It's true by cucumbers, so to oranges and peppers and crisps as well. All the same. Says the Gemara. Ashkechon kerem. You found kerem so far. That's true. Shar minin minayin. Other species, how do you know? Says the Gemara. To yalif mikerem. That's the simple answer. You're right, the Torah only talks about kerem. I'll derive it from kerem. What will I say? Ma kerem dovor shenehene. Just like a kerem is something that you eat and you benefit from. V'to'un brocha, and it requires a brocha. Fine, so that will become now my av. That'll be my principle. Av kol dovor. So to all items shenehene that you benefit from, to'un brocha. Why can't that be a general principle? Says the Gemara, ooh, not so poshut. Says the Gemara, no. Ikela mifrach, you could ask a pircha. What would the pircha be? Mal kerem. Do you know what's unique to a kerem? Shekein chayev ba'oil elois. What's oil elois?
Unripe
fruit. If you have unripe fruit, or unripe kerem, unripe grapes on your vineyard, what's the halacha? Gonna leave them to an oni. That's unique to kerem. I don't have to leave unripe cucumbers for an oni. But kerem apparently has a special chumrah. Oh, well, that's just smashed my binyan av to pieces. You want to say that kerem is just any old example, but if it's true by kerem, it's true with everything. It's not true. Kerem is special. Why is kerem special? Horaya. There's a unique halacha that pertains to kerem and kerem only, and that is? Oh. So if Kerem has a chumra of oilalois, maybe that's why it has a chumra also of bracha. But other foods that do not have a chumra of oilalois, maybe it's not in a bracha. So who says you can learn from Kerem? Says Rashi. Chayev ba'oilalois. Because it says, v'karamacha loy sa'oilel. Izehu oilalois. What exactly is oilalois? We're not going to get involved in the technicalities, but it's Mishnayos in Peah. And it says, kol she'ein lohem pasigin loy kosef v'loy notef. It has no cluster. It's not attached to any other grapes. Ela shura yachidis, just like an individual line, or part of a whole cluster on top and on bottom. A normal kerem comes in clusters. If it doesn't, just like a little line, a flimsy line of grapes, that's called oilalois. Fine. Where does that apply, oilalois? Only to kerem. Ah, if it only applies to kerem, that clearly shows me that kerem is special. If kerem is special, then maybe I'll say, because it's special, that's why I've got to make brachas. But other foods that don't have the halachas of oilalois are therefore not special. Maybe there's no halacha of bracha. Says the Gemara, no, it's not true. Koma toichiach. What's a koma? A heap of grain. What do you make from grain? Bread. Is there any halachas of oilalois when it comes to bread? No. Do you have to make a bracha on bread?
Yes.
So you see that what? That oilalois is irrelevant. You see that oilalois has no bearing on bracha. Because I can introduce koma onto the scene, which has no halachas of oilalois and does have the halacha of brachas. So you see that brachas and oilalois are not dependent on each other whatsoever. So therefore it's true that kerem has something unique in that it has oilalois, but don't tell me that that's a contributory factor to explain why it has the halacha of brachas. Because koma proves to me that what? The oilalois and brachas have no relationship whatsoever. Says Rashi, koma teichiach. How will koma prove to me that oilalois is irrelevant? The ashkechon, we have found the atzracha rachmana bracha. That the Torah requires a bracha on the koma. Dechsev toichal bo lechem. Says you should eat lechem from the koma, and what does it say immediately afterwards? The somich lei, and it's juxtapositioned. So I see the halachas and brachas refer to the koma, despite the fact that koma does not have oilalois. So let's now come back to kerem. Kerem wanted to be our av. We wanted to make a binyan av from kerem. We wanted to derive a general principle, which is that if kerem is chayev a brocha, so too other foods are also chayev a brocha. So what do you want to turn around and say, no, kerem is exceptional. Really, why is it exceptional? Because as oilalois, we've just proved that's irrelevant when it comes to brochas. Haraya komo. Says the Gemara, 1 second. Maybe komo is also unique. Why is koma unique? Koma teichiach. Sorry. Mala koma shekein chayeves b'chalo. Koma is chayev chalo. Is kerem chayev b'chalo? No. But koma jolly well is. So if you want to tell me that what? That I see that there's a musak of brochas with a koma, even though there's no oilalois, I'll tell you, yeah, but that's exceptional for a different reason. Why is a koma exceptional? Which halacha does it have? Chala. So maybe brochas is all dependent on chala. But cucumber, there's no halachas of chala, so maybe there's no brochas. So what's the obvious answer? Kerem yechiach. Well, Kerem disproves the challah principle. How does it disprove the challah principle? There's no challah from Kerem. So Kerem is unique, the what? As oilolois. But that's irrelevant, as proved to me by Koma. Yeah, but Koma is unique because it has challah. Well, that's also irrelevant, as proved to me by Kerem. So rather than looking at their unique aspect, which turns out to be totally irrelevant, as proved by the other, look for the Tzad HaShoveh. Says the Gemara, V'chozar Hadin. What does V'chozar Hadin mean? You keep going, it's a tennis match. I'll throw you Kerem. No, Oilelois. Okay, go to Koma. Koma, Chala. Back to Kerem. No, Oilelois. Back to Koma, Chala. Go, it's a whole tennis match. So rather than focusing on the fact that it has Oilelois or that it has Chala, I say, Loi Re'ize Kere'ize. V'loi Re'ize Kere'ize. The properties of one don't apply there. The properties of the other don't apply here. So rather, Hatzad Hashove Shebohen. What is the Tzad Hashove? Dovo Shenehene V'Toun Bracha. The common denominator between the Koma and the Kerem, ignore Oilelois, ignore Chala. The common denominator is that they are foods that you benefit from and you make a bracha. Ah, that'll become my binyanav or my Tzad HaShoveh. Af kol dovo shenene tohun bracha. So again, back to our ox-apple theory. Once you have the ox-apple theory, what does that show me? Don't tell me that we're particular about expensive items because I've got an apple. Don't tell me that we're particular about food because I've got share. So take those details off the table and look what's in common. It's other people's property. How could I disprove, however, a Tzad HaShoveh as well? If I can find a unique detail which is common to both. If there is some distinguishing factor between an ox and an apple as opposed to a pencil, then you're back in trouble. The fact that the sherry is expensive is irrelevant, as proved to me by apple. The fact that an apple is food is also irrelevant, as proved to me by sherry. So I make a Tzad HaShoveh. So to over here as well. The fact that Kerem has oilolois is irrelevant. That's proved to me by Koma. Koma, the fact that it has Chala is also irrelevant, as proved to me by Kerem. So I make a Tzad HaShoveh. Ignore oilolois, take that off the table. Ignore Chala, take that off the table. What is a Tzad HaShoveh? Both foods, which when you eat, you benefit, therefore you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to make a bracha. Well, that will become my general principle, therefore. So too, any food you benefit from, you make a bracha. Don't keep on showing me oilolois, don't keep on showing me Chala. But if you can show me that there is some, not unique, but common chumrah between Kerem and Koma, then what? We'll be in trouble. Says the Gemara, you are in trouble. Says the Gemara, Ma Latzad HaShoveh Shebohen. There is something unique, not to Kerem or to Koma individually, but rather jointly. And what is that? Shekein yesh boy tzad mizbeach. They both have a tzad mizbeach. What does it mean, a tzad mizbeach? They both have shaychus to a mizbeach. How does a kerem have shaychus to a mizbeach? Nesachim. Kerem produces wine from nesachim. A koma produces grain from which you make flour that goes to the menachos, as opposed to an orange. For a cucumber, has no tzad mizbeach whatsoever. An orange will never go on the mizbeach ever. Ah, so oilolois and chala are indeed irrelevant, because each one proves that the other one's chumrah is not relevant. But if we've got a joint property chumrah, i.e., tzad mizbeach, then we're back in trouble. Maybe the Torah says that it's only that type of food which has shaychus to the Mizbeach, it's a holy food needs bracha. But who says a cucumber needs bracha? Says Rashi, Tzad Mizbeach, Yayin Lenasachin, the soiles and flour Lemanachis, as opposed to your cucumber, which has no Tzad Mizbeach whatsoever.
Trouble.
So we're back in trouble. Why are we back in trouble? Because even though it's true, I'll give it to you, that this pasuk will teach me brachas, but it only teaches me by kerem. It's true, I've got another source as well from koma, bread, you make a bracha as well, but koma and kerem are exceptional. Not because of oilolos, and not because of challah, but rather because of tzav mizbeach. So maybe that's the principle that the Torah is teaching me. If you have holy food, make a bracha. But unholy food, like cucumbers, you don't make a bracha. Which means we are back to square one. Not entirely back to square one, because at least we have found a principle, found a source of making brachas on a kerem. But not for other foods. Okay, we'll hold it over here. As I mentioned last time, we want to step up. We're going to try and be learning more Tosis than we used to. We're actually going to try and learn every Tosis on this page. Not necessarily every Tosis on every Amud, but we will try and learn every Tosis on this page. Each one are quite short. And Be'ez Hashem, on Sunday, we will first learn the Gemara until the two dots. And then we'll learn the Tosis, and it's most of the Tosis. In fact, it's all of the Tosis until the two dots.
Okay, I'll leave the food for you.